This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am your host, Corey Fleck. Well, your host for the first hour. In the first half of this first hour, we're going to discuss more markets and some of the data. And then in the second half, move over to the resource sector. It's been another very interesting week, especially for those precious metals bulls, as the gold price has continued to climb, even in the face of a dollar that was stabilizing. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Mark Chandler, managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I recommend checking out on a daily basis. And Mark, let's focus on the U.S. dollar, but also with some of the data and news that we are going to see next week. First and foremost, the Fed meeting. The expectations are for, again, the Fed to remain paused, but that means in 6 weeks, in July, I think rate cut odds are over 80% right now for that July meeting. But as for next week and in terms of how the dollar might react, what are you seeing coming from this Fed meeting?
Sure. So, you know, it's true that after those weaker than expected jobs data last Friday, the 7th, we had some softer CPI data, but the dollar really traded higher throughout the week, finishing near its highs for the week after we had stronger than expected retail sales. So going into next week, what that strong retail sales data meant was that the market was beginning to creep into a rate cut by the Federal Reserve on this week, the 19th, 20th. And instead, the strength of the retail sales made the market take that back. That is, before the data, the market was pricing in about a 1 in 3 chance of a June cut here. And now it's less than 1 in, say, it's about a 1 in 7 chance, 1 in 8 chance. So the odds have really been cut back. But I think you're right. The market is looking for some kind of signal of a rate cut coming soon. I do think that what we should expect of the Federal Reserve is no sense of urgency, but they want to recognize and acknowledge that they have the tools in case they need to. And so we can talk about these cross currents again. But I think it's a little bit early for the Federal Reserve to give up its view that the soft patch in inflation is transitory. It's a bit too early to say that when we still have full employment for all practical purposes, new cyclical lows in the underemployment rate. Retail sales today strong, and more importantly than just the May figure for retail sales is the upward revision in April, which means that the consumer is still fairly resilient. So no real urgency from the Fed, but I think that they'll acknowledge that they're prepared to act if needed, and maybe in a more like strongly stated in a way that they haven't yet. So I think that's what we can most hope from the Federal Reserve. They will give us new forecasts. Q1, growth surprise on the upside. Growth in Q2 might be on the downside. That is below trend. So it really depends on Q3 data, I think, to see whether the Fed cuts. And I think July is still a bit early. If I was going to pencil in a Fed cut, I'd put it in September.
Okay. Well, that's something to keep an eye on. I also am a bit skeptical just how much the market has already priced in this July meeting and potential cut. Again, a lot can happen within that time. And you know what? You are right. The Fed is, I think, going to mention patience a lot and on pause, but they already have started to address some of the tools in some of the meetings that they've had or press conferences regarding what they could be doing. Now, again, in the eyes of the dollar has continued this general uptrend. However, the general momentum of this uptrend has definitely waned, especially from 2018, 2019. It's a slow grinding uptrend. And as much as I think some people want to become dollar bears, we need to look at what's going on over in Europe. Next week, we're going to get the flash PMI in the Eurozone. Well, how do you think this could affect the overall dollar moves and still this momentum to the upside?
Yeah, so it's true, you know, that the euro had a bottom back in late May around 111. This week, we got up to a little bit more than 113, close to 113.5, and turned back here in the second half of the week, completely giving back the gains that the euro made last week on the back of the ECB meeting and the soft U.S. jobs data, finishing below the 20-day moving average for the first time this month. But I think that the outlook might be a little bit better if it can hold this general area, call it 111.80, 112, because next week we're going to get the flash PMIs, not coming until the end of the week. But what this should show us is that there has been a gradual recovery in the eurozone. I mean, I know pessimism is very widespread, and there are a lot of risks out there. Brexit, trade tensions with the U.S., slowing down of China, all things that are near the surface. But we've seen, like, for example, the composite PMI for the eurozone bottomed in January, February, just below 51. And with a little bit of luck, it'll be near 52 when it gets reported for June at the end of the week ahead of us. And you can see this as well in the service sector. The manufacturing sector in Europe is still weak. It's been below the 50 boom-bust level since January. And it's likely to remain below there for another month or two, but slowly climbing back. But the key really is the composite has turned up. This would be here in June would be the third month in a row.
Okay, so then where does this all leave investors? It sounds like there's still a lot of uncertainty, indecision in the markets, and if the Fed does manage to push back rate cuts, then we're kind of stuck in a slow growth, almost news-dependent market, aren't we?
Yeah, so in my work, I sort of see the dollar sort of forging a top here, a big top, long-term top against the major currencies. I sort of think of it as three factors. One is the policy mix in the U.S. has shifted from a loose fiscal policy, tax cuts, and tighter monetary policy, four Fed rate hikes last year, to the exact opposite. The tariff increases, the winding down of the fiscal stimulus makes us into a tighter fiscal position, while monetary policy seems to be on the verge of easing. Secondly, in my work, I find that the last phase of a big dollar rally is when interest rate differentials move against it. That's happening now. It's not just like in the last couple of weeks, but since November, the U.S. interest rate premium over Europe, the Eurozone, and over the U.K. has narrowed. Same thing with Japan. Now, the interest rate differential with the U.S. and Canada peaked earlier, and it's about half of what it was at its peak. And so I think that those two factors, shifting policy mix, these late cycle indicators, and then the third factor I would point out is that Trump is right that when he said recently that the euro was undervalued. The truth of the matter is that most of the major currencies are undervalued against the dollar. So I'm seeing the dollar overvalued against most currencies, interest rate differentials moving against it, as the policy mix turns less supportive. This does not mean that the dollar can't strengthen a bit further. We've had several tests in late April through May near 111. Today we're still trading a little bit above 112. Even if we go back down to 111, even make a marginal new low, I think that in a year from now we're going to be looking at a sharply lower dollar. By sharply lower, let me try to quantify that to say something around 5% or so.
Okay. Hey, very interesting comments there, Mark. And you have outlined, I think, a scenario here where the dollar easily could weaken. As I said, the momentum of this uptrend has waned a bit this year. And hey, there are still reasons for maybe this to continue for a little bit longer, but longer term, that dollar pullback very much on the table. Hey, Mark, great having you on the show. I appreciate all of your time, and I also appreciate your blog, again, Mark2Market. Mark, thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Jesse Feldman.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first segment with Mark Chandler discussing some of the data points that we saw this week and also looking ahead to what is in store for us next week at that Fed meeting. I'm happy to say in the second segment I am chatting with Jesse Felder, founder of the Felder Report. And Jesse, we will get into actually some of the nuances and market drivers behind the precious metals. But first, I want to recap a posting that you made to your subscribers recently discussing the risk and reward in equities, mostly focused on U.S. equities. Now, we talk a lot about the overvaluations of a lot of these stocks on a number of different metrics that you look at it, but you're taking a longer-term view of just how difficult it very well could be for the U.S. markets and U.S. equities in general to provide the type of rewards they have over the last 9-10 years. Can you please dive into this for us?
Sure, yeah. One of the, and these are really kind of longer term dynamics, but one of the indicators that I started watching several years ago was something I call the Buffett yardstick. It's essentially the total value of the stock market relative to the total size of the economies, or market cap to gross national product, as Warren Buffett wrote about it in 2001 for Fortune magazine. He called it probably the best single measure of where valuations stand at any given moment. And the reason why they're such a good measure is because they have a very high negative correlation to forward 10-year returns in the stock market. So Warren Buffett has also famously said the price you pay determines your rate of return. You pay a high price, you get a low rate of return, and vice versa. And according to Buffett's measure, investors are paying one of the highest prices for stocks in history. And specifically, when you turn the Buffett yardstick into a forecast, it suggests that investors over the next 10 years should get roughly 0% return, including dividends, over the next 10 years, which is, obviously not a very good potential return for the risk you're taking. And then you can try to figure out how much risk am I taking in order to generate that 0%. I like to look at margin debt. Buffett has also famously said to be greedy when others are fearful, fearful when others are greedy. And so then the trick is, how do I determine if investors are greedy or fearful? So in his book, The Great Crash, 1929, John Kenneth Galbraith wrote, even the most circumspect friend of the market would concede the volume of broker's loans, the loans collateraled by securities purchased on margin, is a good index of the volume of speculation. So the amount of money being borrowed to speculate in the stock market is a good indicator of whether investors are being greedy or fearful. And when you normalize this to the size of the economy, just like we did with equities in the Buffett yardstick, you do margin debt to GDP, you can see over the last year or two, we've recently hit new highs, higher than the peak that we saw at the dot-com mania or the peak we saw before the financial crisis. And so those last two peaks, the time margin debt got so extreme, we saw 50% drawdowns in the stock market. And I think today when you look at this at an even greater high, it's not unreasonable to expect that the potential drawdown in the next bear market could be more than 50%, could push, 60-65%. And so when you put these two things together and you put the potential reward of, 0% in stocks and then your potential risk of trying to capture that zero, you're taking on 50-60% potential downside over the next 3 years is really the way I look at it in that margin debt framework. That is a horrible, one of the worst probably risk reward equations that we've ever seen in the stock market right now.
Jesse, how much do you think of this general overvaluation of stocks, which then leads, as you said, to lower expected potential rewards moving forward? How much of this is predicated just on these tech stocks that still have a lot of money going into them, and really some of these new stocks that are coming out that just blow away expectations in terms of how far and how fast they can run right away?
You know, that's a great question, because for those of us who lived and traded through the dot-com mania, I remember distinctly, I had a wonderful time investing in 2000, 2001, 2002 during the dot-com bust, because in that 1998, 99 timeframe, 2000, there were so many stocks and sectors that were left for dead. One of the best trades that I ever made was buying Ballcorp, a simple glass jar aluminum can maker, in 99, 2000, because nobody wanted to own these old economy bricks and mortar companies. You had great opportunities. Today in the stock market, the overvaluation is not just confined to one sector or a couple of sectors like it was back then. It was, you know, really just internet stocks and telecom and some other things. Today, when you look at the overvaluation, I look at it as a sector by sector basis, and you see utilities trading at their highest valuations in history. You see consumer discretionary highest valuation in history for the sector. And so the overvaluation today is much, much broader than it was back then. The market has seen, you know, all ships rise to extreme valuations this time.
Really speaks to this overall concept of the everything bubble, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's, it's not just equities, you know, the everything bubble I've been, you know, writing about for a few years. It's equities, it's bonds. You look at, you know, bonds are extremely highly valued, negative interest rates. You couldn't get a higher valuation in bonds than a negative interest rate. And corporate debt has surged to new all-time highs relative to the size of the economy also. Real estate is also, it's the first time in history we've seen all three of these asset classes trade at their highest valuations in history at the same time. In the past, you've had these kind of rolling bubbles where it was equities in the dot-com mania, it was real estate during the housing bubble. Maybe it was bonds, you know, back during the Great Depression when interest rates got as low as they are today. But today, it's all three of these asset classes trading at their highest valuations in history.
So whenever we talk about bubbles and these over-leveraged or high valuations, to me, it makes me think of when a pullback or a crash does happen, this term destruction of capital, where all this money gets lost. And yes, it gets rotated into other sectors, but especially when you deal with either debt reclassifications or what have you, there is a general, again, destruction of capital. Do you see this as a potential when we do have this everything bubble? Where does that destruction come from?
Well, I think there have been a lot of warnings, and you know, it's very interesting to me because there are some similar parallels between today and the time leading up to the financial crisis. You know, debt is in different places and it's been enabled by different, it wasn't, you know, the banks kind of helped enable the housing bubble. It's been the shadow banking that's really kind of enabled this, the debt bubble that we're seeing today, you know, this debt bubble and corporate credit.
All right, Jesse, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but you and I are going to continue this conversation and get a little bit more into even how the metals are reacting. To hear that full interview or the rest of this interview, please visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the Weekend Show posting. Everyone, stick around. I am going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention GCN self-reliance listeners. If you've ever wanted an emergency solar survival backup system but were waiting for prices too crazy to pass up, this will be the most important message you'll ever hear. Bill Hyde here, and I want to tell you about a huge sale with historically low prices on our PPX microgrid system that's going to let you produce an endless supply of electricity off the grid. The clearance price is a result of the historic flooding we're having here right on the east bank of the Mississippi. Because of the flooding, we've had to move a lot of our inventory to a temporary location station, and rather than move it back to the warehouse, we thought we'd offer the system at a price that might seem unbelievable if you didn't know the floodwaters backstory. So here's what you should do right now. Check out the PPX microgrid system at myownpowergrid.com. That's myownpowergrid.com. Over $1,000 in great off-the-grid gear and a ton of bonuses too. And the best part? You're not going to pay $750 or $500, $300, or even $200. Go to myownpowergrid.com to learn more. That's myownpowergrid.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Arab League is now urging Iran to take steps to ease tensions in the Persian Gulf. Two oil tankers were attacked near the strategic Strait of Hormuz this week. The U.S. blames Iran, but they denied that they were involved. A nearby South Korean vessel helped rescue the sailors on one of the oil tankers. Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, has announced she's suspending a proposed and controversial extradition bill. She spoke through an interpreter.
We do not intend to set any deadline on development work. We promise that after we have collated the views, we'll report to the security panel of the LegCo. We'll consult the views of the lawmakers before we decide on the step forward.
Hundreds of thousands of protesters demonstrated in Hong Kong this week against the bill. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount, and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these last two segments, we are going to shift our focus a little bit more to the resource sector. And in this segment, I am chatting with Jayant Bhandari. Jayant, I want to discuss with you, first and foremost, the balance between these rising precious metals prices, especially gold and silver, and how the stocks are reacting. We are seeing more money flow into the majors, but I know through the conversations that I continue to have with a number of junior companies, these juniors are still generally struggling. There are juniors that are cashed up and still drilling some good holes, but overall, we still haven't seen a rush into a broader sense of the precious metals stocks. Now, maybe that's just because this rally in the precious metals is still relatively new. It's all happened, or most of it has happened, in June only. recently, but how are you balancing this out? A rising precious metals price, but stocks not exactly sharing in all of those gains.
Absolutely, Corey. Despite the fact that in the last 1 month, gold price has become relatively strong, junior gold mining companies are continuing to face problems. In fact, a lot of companies that I have seen have actually fallen in value. There are at least four or five companies that I know of with reasonably good deposits are failing to raise money despite that they have significantly discounted the financing price to the current share price. And the reason this is happening, Corey, in my view, is because investors are clearly have two reasons behind this. One is that given increase in liquidity, they are selling what they have been wanting to sell for a long time. But also, managements have failed to create value for shareholders. And we have to remember that in the last 10 to 15 years, despite that gold price has gone up about 50 to 100%, Canadian Venture Exchange has fallen by about 80 to 90%. So there's a huge amount of mismatch, not just in the short term over the last 1 month. There has been a huge amount of mismatch over the last 15 years. The key problem is that managements have failed to create value for investors. And of course, the prime responsibility is that of investors themselves. They have not been very discerning when they invested in these companies.
Now, how much do you think that does have to play with still this underperformance? It does seem like a lot of these gold bugs or precious metals bugs, they were already all in, or at least very close to all in, and that means that when they move down or when the stocks move down or even when stocks just stay stagnant, there just isn't that extra push of funds coming in.
Well, that is indeed possible, and also remember that because gold market and the commodities market hasn't really created a lot of wealth for investors. It has also meant that generalist investors, generalist funds haven't really paid much attention to the mining sector. And I think we really have to change that perception about the mining sector. Mining companies have to start creating profitabilities for their investors so that outsiders start coming into this sector.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different factors that could help generalist investors enter the sector, but one of the easiest ones would simply be a breakout in the metals price. Giant, let's talk about a couple companies here. One that you and I have chatted about in the past, that's Miramont Resources. They are in the middle of a drill program, and I think anyone who did follow that drill program from, well, the last drill program saw the volatility and, unfortunately, the disappointment that came out of the initial results. What do you think about Miramont now?
Well, I mean, as you know, Corey, I'm a big fan of Dr. Quinton Hennie. I quite like him. I am very well invested in all of his companies, including Miramont. Now, Miramont drilled a few holes at their project in Peru, and none of those holes have created results that would have excited me. Now, this is the general thing to do with the junior mining industry. You don't know what is in the ground, and sometimes these holes do turn out to be duds, and these have been mostly completely dud holes. Now, Miramont's market capitalization is about $9 million, and it's trading at around 17 cents. At that kind of valuation with only $3 million in cash, I am not super excited about the company, and that has nothing to do with the management. It has a great management, but I just don't see enough value at the current share price, so I am not too keen on buying this company at the current share price.
Okay. I appreciate your upfrontness, and also considering that you are an investor, and in all fairness, I also hold Miramont shares. What about McEwen Mining, too? You and I were discussing this off mic. I don't want to take up too much time here, so I'll throw it over to you. What do you think of McEwen Mining?
I have never been too excited about McEwen Mining. This company consistently makes losses. They have a lot of debt in its balance sheet. So I have never really paid much very close attention to it, because a very quick glance tells me that I don't really have much upside in this company.
Now, why do you say, do you see that changing at all?
I see absolutely no reason why that should change. And I really don't like it when the CEO of a mining company focuses too much on the underlying metals' price. Rob McEwen constantly talks about an extremely high gold price future. And when you're talking about $5,000 per ounce future of gold price, that is what you are thinking when you are investing money in a gold mine. What happens, Corey, is that if the gold price does not actually rise up to $5,000 per ounce soon enough, if you invest based on that perception, you would be sinking capital in the ground with a very high expectation of gold price, and you might be generating a huge amount of losses from your mining operations, which is what McEwen Mining has done for the last many, many, many years. They have lost a huge amount of shareholder value, and unless that mentality changes, and the mentality should be that you should be able to generate a profit at the current gold price. Otherwise, you will keep accumulating losses going forward.
So it's really all about focusing on those economic ounces, finding a resource that works at current prices. Now, in all fairness, sometimes, you know what, you get unexpected results when you do actually start mining and after you have done all the necessary studies. But how do you manage to avoid those situations, Giant?
Well, I mean, something comes up all the time. So you invest for, let's say we invested in Novo Resources for Beaton's Creek, and I thought there was very good valuation in Beaton's Creek. And then the West Pilbara project came along, and it created a lot of value for investors. So those things can come up, but your first step when you invest in a company must be that the current valuation of the company should support the market capitalization. If you invest for higher valuation than the valuation actually is in the company, you position yourself for a probability adjusted loss making situation.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave it at that there, Giant, but I do appreciate some insights into a couple stocks, and you know what, a couple stocks that you're not a huge fan of right now, but still invested in one of them. If anybody wants Giant and I to look into any other companies or stocks, please just let me know. Email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I'm happy to get those in front of Giant, and I know he's happy to record a segment on them. So, Giant, appreciate your time this weekend. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back to wrap up the first hour.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, I am chatting with David Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. We're going to be focusing on the precious metals and also on a site visit that David just got back from. But, David, let's talk about the moves in the precious metals. We are recording this more or less midday, at least East Coast time, for the markets on Friday. And we're seeing gold, it was moving nicely pre-market, reached a high on the spot market of 1357, but it has sold off a little bit as we're recording this, trading about 1347. But this is also in the face of a U.S. dollar up 0.52. Dollar is looking very strong, but gold is also looking strong in the face of this strong dollar. A bit of a difference here. I know a lot of people were waiting for the dollar to break down to push gold even higher. Maybe we don't even need that, but let's first get your comment on how gold is reacting to a higher dollar and also testing out this upper range.
Yeah, got a few things pushing the gold price higher this week. We had the CPI data come in soft, and we had the Middle East tensions flare up, and a couple tankers being attacked, and that has helped the gold price go higher. But what's really impressive is the miners today and yesterday are holding their gains and actually outpacing the gold price. And that's a very good sign. And you've got a few gaps up in the GDX. And when those miners lead the gold price like this, that's a very good sign for an imminent breakout, finally, of that 1350, 1375 area that we've tested so many times, which is the reason also why the juniors really haven't done much, because all these the speculators have seen this time and time again, the gold price run up to this Maginot line of 1350, 1375, just to have it break down again. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out next week as we head into the Fed meeting, because the market has now priced in an 87% chance of a rate cut in July and even a 25% chance of a rate cut in June. So normally when the market is priced in a Fed move over 50%, it usually happens. I expect the Fed to prime the market for a rate cut in July. And if it doesn't, the stock market will probably get hit pretty hard, because a lot of this move up in equities has been basically short covering because of the Fed backpedaling and talking about rate cuts.
Yeah, well, all eyes are going to be on the Fed for next week. But remember, I know those rate cut odds are very much in the favor, over 80%, as you said. However, those odds can change over a six-week period quite drastically. So let's just see what the Fed has to say. You did mention how the stocks were performing nicely, and I think it's mostly the larger stocks that are performing nicely. There's still a number of juniors and even mid-caps that seem stuck in a range and also still managing to drift. What about that reaction of those majors or the larger stocks moving higher? This is encouraging, but we're still not seeing a broad recovery.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually what happens. You know, the major miners and the royalty companies move first. One big reason is because there's a lot of shorts in the miners and they're covering. Usually you see that the funds come into the major miners and the royalty companies first, and then the juniors will probably begin to catch up once the gold price solidly closes above that overhead resistance line of 1350, 1375 region, which it needs to happen before you're going to get more speculators involved in the juniors.
Yeah, we're just waiting for that breakout to happen and more money to flow in. But you know what? Maybe this run that we're currently experiencing will break out. I don't know. It is getting a bit overbought right now. Let's move over to a recent site visit that you were just on. You're in Val-d'Or, Quebec, visiting Cartier Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ECR. In full disclosure, you are a shareholder and you do write about Cartier in your newsletter. Can you take us through your takeaway from this site visit?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I was very impressed with the team. You know, they've only got 4 employees, and I was really impressed with their methodical approach and their business plan and how they go about their drill programs. The CEO, Philippe Cloutier, he met me at the airport. He lives there. He's lived there since 1986. We drove to the site in 20 minutes from the office. I was really impressed by how much they've been able to get out of each exploration dollar on their Chimo mine project, which is their flagship. They've spent $8 million to date, and they've drilled 50,000 meters. And this isn't 43-101, but it looks to me as though they've proved up over a million ounces already. And they've got a last phase that they've already have budgeted and they already have financed. But they've now put on hold because of how the market has reacted to the drill results they've put out already. The markets have been steady. I mean, the drill results have been steady and they've been good. But, you know, the market these days, they want to see a project that has the ability to have at least 2 million ounces with a lot of blue sky potential before they're going to even touch it. So Agnico Eagle already owns 17%. They came in and they took 19.9% when it was trading at 15 cents, and they bought it at 20 cents. And now they still own about 17% of it. And the shaft on the project is really impressive. They've got a 965-meter shaft in the middle of the project that's already been sunk. And if you were to sink that shaft today, it would cost between $80 and $100 million. And the market cap of the company is only $20 million. So, like I said, I was really impressed with how much they've gotten out of their exploration dollar. They've even got another $1 million coming in from Revenue Quebec here in the next few months because the government gives a tax rebate for all the exploration drilling there. So I was really impressed. It looks as though the market is waiting for $1,400 gold to get interested in projects like this. But the good thing is management is aware of this, and this is why they've suspended the drill program. And when they're not drilling, their burn rate's only $50,000 a month. I really like the way how they're approaching this project, and they've also got three other projects that they've already have drill targets. They already have drill budgets. They know exactly what they're going to do. They're just on hold until they sell the Chimo mine, because that's basically been their modus operandi from the get-go. They're only going to produce a 43-101 probably by the end of the year and then try to sell the mine.
Okay. Now, some of the recent drill results that we've seen at the tail end of May and early on in June here, the grade has been around 5.5 grams per ton. So has that been fairly consistent? Do you think that, again, not 43-101 compliant, but maybe if they do have 1 million ounces there, it would be around this grade?
Probably, yes. Cambier, the company that owned the mine previously and shut it down in 1997, the average head grade was around 4.5 grams per ton. So if you go on to Verify at the end of the month, I believe they're going to have all this information on Verify, and you can punch in the numbers and basically figure out for yourself pretty much what they have there. So it's going to be really interesting for companies to come along and take a look at that, ones that might be interested in it. But I get the feeling that they would probably take $100 million if they were offered for the project, which is what it would cost to sink that shaft. I also think that once they get around to that last drill program and have that finished, they'll have at least 1.5 million ounces at a grade of around 4 to 5 grams per ton.
Okay. Well, hey, getting $100 million, that would be nice, but one thing to consider is that the market cap of the company is in the $20 million range, just over $20 million, so I'm sure they would be happy with $100 million for this project. Now, you made that comment, though, that they are shutting down the drilling, more waiting for a higher gold price. Some investors would look at that and think, well, is this just another optionality play? What would you have to say to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I would think as well. And it kind of is an optionality play on the basis of what the market is looking for right now, what investors are looking for right now. And they understand that, which is why they're going ahead and shutting it down right now. So, but once the gold price has a solid floor at 1400 as opposed to resistance at 1400, then they'll announce the drill program. And like I said, the 43-101 should be out by the end of the year.
Okay. David, very interesting hearing about your trip over to Val-d'Or, Quebec. I appreciate all of your insights, and I do appreciate being a subscriber of your newsletter. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. As always, keep in touch, Fleck at kereport.com. I love getting emails from all of you, and I do my best to respond to all of them and also follow up with any of the companies or guests that you have questions for. David, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. Everybody, you have a great weekend as well.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.